to our seats and get started on our agenda. And I turn it over to Judge Herman.
Thank you, Chief. It's my honor and pleasure to introduce to the Council Associate Justice Ming Chen of the California Supreme Court and Chair of the CTAC Advisory Committee, who's been with this project from long before its inception. Justice Chen.
I want you all to know that I was just mistaken as a reporter for Channel 7. If you would please speak into the microphone. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. You have a major, very difficult decision that is going to be in your lap shortly. I told Justice Baxter that I am grateful that you cannot kick it up to us. As Jim said, I've been working on this for a long time. As you make this, I am not going to give you a recommendation. You have choices in front of you. You have three very difficult choices. As you make the decision, I would like you to do what I did 12 years ago and think of what kind of judicial system you want to have in California in 12 years. I realize that is not easy, because you have to decide in the next 3 months, 6 months, the budget consequences of your decision. But your decision also affects what kind of judicial system we will have in California in 12 years. Do you want a judicial system that is a meat grinder for everyone that has contact with it? Do you want a judicial system that is a barrier to anyone that has a problem when they come to the courts? I agree with the people behind me that came before you and said that you ought to think about the people in the court system and the people that use the court system. But I disagree with the young man who said they don't care what kind of computer system you use, because the kind of technology that California uses in 12 years will have a large impact on the kind of justice you are able to give to the citizens of California. 12 years ago, I thought we should have a paperless court. My colleagues said, oh, I can't get along without paper. So I said, how about paper on demand? Well, maybe. We are not there yet, but we're on the brink of getting there. And whatever you do today, I hope you will have a plan on how to get there, because we cannot continue to have a court system that is bogged down in paper. It makes, okay, I got an email from an attorney this week. He knows I'm the chair of the technology committee, and he said, Why don't we have mandatory e-service? He didn't even ask me for e-filing. He said, give me e-service so that I can serve the people that I deal with electronically. Maybe I set my sights too high. I gave a presentation to an employment law group a couple of months ago, and I complained about the paper system that we have and how it bogs down the entire court system. And one attorney in San Francisco raised his hand and said, Justice Chin, can you just get San Francisco to have fax filing? Maybe I aimed too high. You have a difficult decision. I don't envy you, but I ask you to look to the distant future, because the decision you make today will affect the entire court system for years to come. I was impressed with John Streeter's presentation from the State Bar, because he talked about it from the vantage point of attorneys. And, you know, I practiced law for 20 years before I became a judge. I sympathize with attorneys that have to deal with a court-based legal system, court-based judicial system. But think of not only the attorneys, but all of our justice partners that have to deal with our system. the Department of Motor Vehicles with traffic tickets. I think we should have electronic traffic tickets. So it goes through the, it's the highest volume, as I've told many of you, it's the highest volume paper ginning mill of any part of our court system. Why isn't it electronic? So we've started pilot systems, but I'm sure those will blow up in our face as well. But I hope that eventually we get to an electronic system so that lawyers can handle their practices more efficiently, so that their clients are not billed for extraneous time in the courtroom. I hope that our justice partners will be able to deal with our court system electronically. So how we get there will be up to you. I wish you Godspeed.
Thank you, Justice Chin.
Just as a matter of personal privilege, I was there downstairs in this very building when I stood in John Streeter's shoes, and you rolled out the vision that we're now talking about today. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Chief, I believe we're now going to hear Grant Thornton's report. Walk through Grant Thornton's report.
Yes, and before we start, I just want to alert our listeners on the phone or otherwise that we'll be using the PowerPoint for this presentation, I understand.
Correct.
Thank you.
Good morning, Chief, members of the Council. I am Christine Patton. I'm the Regional Administrative Director, but I'm also I've worked with Grant Thornton as the project manager for this contract. And I'm here to introduce this item, but before I do so, I want to acknowledge the tremendous amount of work and support the IS division and the PMO staff have given to the Grant Thornton staff in the course of the company's gathering of information during the research and preparation of this report. Many of those people are here in the audience today. I'm sure many more are listening, but I wanted to give them that acknowledgement that, and I'm sure Graham would acknowledge that they put a tremendous amount of work to back up into this report. So thank you. As Justice Bernier stated in the when he was giving his historical background, Grant Thornton, the company, was originally engaged by the Judicial Council to develop a cost-benefit analysis for deployment of CCMS to all 58 courts. The final report was released in February of 2011. Subsequent to that report, due to the continuing challenging economy, the Judicial Council wanted to explore other options for deployment, and in December of 2011, Grant Thornton was engaged for a second scope of work that included the following activities: review and validate the AOC's cost and assumptions related to deployment at a single early adopter court as opposed to three, and that was San Luis Obispo; identify up to 10 courts for a phase two deployment and develop the estimated costs; and three, develop a cost-benefit analysis for deployment to San Luis Obispo and the 10 Phase 2 courts, which is a total of 11 courts. To my left is Graham Finley. He's the director in Grant Thornton's Global Public Sector Practice. He has over 19 years' experience providing consulting services to public and private sector organizations in the United States and Europe. He has experience in IT strategy, investment management, business case analysis and acquisition support, as well as custom and package software development integration. I'm going to turn this over to Graham so that he can walk you through the slide deck, which I believe everyone has received, and then he will be open for questions.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So what I'd like to do this morning is give a summary of the partial CCMS V4 deployment plan and cost-benefit analysis that we recently completed for the AOC. And what I want to cover are the following items. A little bit about the purpose and scope of our work. Chris has already sort of given an overview of the major components of the work, the recommended deployment strategy for the San Luis Obispo Early Adopter Court and 10 additional courts as a following wave, an independent assessment of the AOC's estimate of the budget required to implement CCMS V4 at the San Luis Obispo Early Adopter Court, and then a cost-benefit analysis for this partial deployment scenario compared to a scenario where CCMS is not implemented and each of the courts has to implement an independently their own case management system sometime in the next 10 years. I'll then present a brief summary of our conclusions. I hope to spend about 60 minutes going through the material, and we have time left after that for questions. But if anyone doesn't understand anything that I'm covering or feel the need to ask an immediate question, then please stop me and we'll cover it right then. So in terms of purpose and scope, the work we've completed can be summarized in the following high-level steps. We started out by independently reviewing and validating the AOC's budget assumptions for the San Luis Obispo deployment. We identified 10 additional courts to participate in an initial deployment of CCMS V4 after San Luis Obispo. We estimated the deployment costs for these courts, so this is both the one-time deployment costs for those courts plus the ongoing maintenance and operations costs required to keep those courts in operation on CCMS V4 through fiscal year 2021. That was basically the end point of our analysis. We estimated the benefits associated with deploying CCMS V4 to those courts. And then finally, we made an estimate of the return on investment of deploying CCMS V4 to those 11 courts versus not deploying CCMS. Now, I'm going to cover the deployment strategy piece first and go through that relatively quickly, and then spend the balance of the presentation on the numbers, which is, I think, where a lot of the interest lies. So we'll devote most of the presentation to the economic return and budget analysis pieces. So an overview of the process we went through to come up with the deployment strategy. What we wanted to do was identify a representative group of courts that would both demonstrate the utility of V4 to the branch as a whole, but that also would be cost beneficial to the branch to deploy. And our approach to developing that strategy comprised the following steps. So we started by identifying a set of evaluation criteria by which we could determine which courts should be included in what we're calling the Phase 2 deployment. Those are the 10 courts after San Luis Obispo. We then developed an initial candidate list that could be included in that Phase 2 deployment. And we had, 20 to 25 courts started on the list. We then reached out to all of those candidate courts to determine their willingness and suitability for inclusion in that Phase 2 deployment. And then based on that analysis and looking at the evaluation criteria, we selected 10 courts for inclusion in the Phase 2 deployment. We then grouped those courts into two sub-phases, so we're calling them Phase 2.1 and Phase 2.2, each of which has five courts, and those two groups of five courts would deploy as concurrent groupings, and so I'll go over that process a little later. And we defined a high-level deployment sequence and timeline for that recommended set of courts.
Can I interrupt you just for a second? But who's ever on the phone, and we apologize for saying this, but if you could put your phone on mute, it's causing difficulty here to be able to hear the speaker. So thank you.
Okay. So let me talk a little bit about the evaluation criteria, how we chose the courts that were selected to be the 10 Phase 2 courts. There are three main criteria we looked at. The first was court size. In general, larger courts are more likely to generate a positive return on investment on V4 than smaller courts, but we also wanted to include a representative diversity of court sizes, so we were trying to achieve a balance there. Obviously, any of the courts that are currently operating V2 or V3 were considered a good candidate because of the opportunity to reduce or eliminate the annual costs that the branch currently incurs in maintaining V2 and V3 while those courts are still on those systems. And then finally, we looked for courts that had a critical need. So any courts that would need to fairly soon replace their current case management system were considered a high priority. Now, another point I want to make is that all of the courts we talked to were very gracious in sharing their time, but one of the things that we made clear to each of the courts as we talked to them that was that talking to us about this and being included in this assessment did not constitute a commitment by that court that they were committing to implement or deploy CCMS V4. So I want to make it clear this is our recommendation of what the courts should be. It doesn't imply that the courts we identify have agreed to implement CCMS V4. Another point I want to make is if you look at these three evaluation criteria, in a certain sense they're competing. Because if we, for example, were to choose a critical need court which is relatively small, we're then sacrificing some quantitative return on investment that might have been achieved by choosing a larger court. In the end, we achieved what we think is a balance of the three criteria, but we weren't able to fully meet all of them. So this next slide shows the list of 10 courts that we selected. I'll just run through them quickly. So in alphabetical order, it's Alameda, Fresno, Inyo, Marin, Mendocino, Orange, San Diego, San Joaquin, Santa Cruz, and Ventura. This selection covers all of the V2 courts plus almost all of the V3 courts and also has several courts that identified a near-term need to replace their case management system, and also we feel has a pretty good diversity of court sizes. In terms of the scope for the deployment at each court, in general, getting the largest possible case volume through V4 is going to improve the return on investment. So wherever possible, we wanted to have all case types transferred onto V4. And with the sole exception of Alameda, that's something that we made the assumption. Alameda was only, they were very clear, they were only willing to implement criminal. So that's what we assumed. In all of the other courts, we're assuming all case types will eventually go onto V4. And for most of the courts, we assumed that implementation would be implemented in a single release over the course of at least a several-month period. They would deploy all case types onto V4. There were three courts where, based on the specific circumstances of those courts, we projected more of a phased implementation where they would implement a certain group of case types in one release and then wait a little bit later and implement another set of case types in a second release. And so Orange, San Diego, and Ventura have two phases to their release strategy. So the overall timeline that we came up with, there are really three major groupings of courts here. There's what we're labeling phase one, so that's San Luis Obispo, and that work would start in earnest in September of this year and complete in around February of 2014. And then the phase two courts are divided into those two sub-phases, phase 2.1 and phase 2.2. So 2.1 is five courts, and they'll mostly deploy in the spring of 2015, except for the second part of the San Diego release that wouldn't be until early 2016. And then phase 2.2, which is the second five courts, and they'll deploy mid-2015 to early 2016, except for the second parts of the Ventura and Orange deployments, which would be towards the end of 2016. And there are several key elements of this that I want to just highlight, and so going to the next page, there are four sort of things I want to sort of bring out. The first is, in general, for all of these large IT projects, it's a good idea to create off-ramps at key stages where you can take a critical look at where the project is going, somewhat like today, and make decisions about what the path is going forward. We saw a good point for what we're considering a go-no-go stage gate for this deployment around October of 2013. At that point in time, the final testing activities at San Luis Obispo would be completing, but the actual cutover and deployment work would not yet have started. And at the same time, the planning and assessment activities for the next five courts would have pretty much wrapped up. So we assumed there's probably about a three-month planning and assessment activity for each of the courts in the phase two suite, where each of those courts would look at CCMS V4 functionality and do a fit gap against their specific requirements and do a more detailed deployment plan. The conclusion of those planning and assessment activities would line up pretty well with the completion of testing at San Luis Obispo, so we felt that was an opportunity for the Judicial Council to come back together and take a critical look at how San Luis Obispo deployment is happening prior to the actual decision to make the cutover, and also get feedback from those next five courts about how their planning and assessment work is complete and how comfortable they feel with moving forward with the implementation prior to any significant expenditures of funds on the next five courts. Second key point would be with Fresno going live in late 2014, that provides an opportunity to retire CCMS V2, and then the funds that are currently being used to fund the maintenance and operations of V2 can be transferred to fund V4 activities. We assumed that the maintenance and operations of V4 would initially be handled by Deloitte in an outsourced arrangement, but that the AOC would take over those responsibilities in the middle of 2016. That July 1 date is basically about a year after the first five courts go live and have been in stable production operations. So you've got about a year of stable operations in a live environment for those five courts, and then the AOC would take over maintenance and operations. There's an estimated saving associated with having the AOC do that versus having Deloitte do it. And then the final point is there's an opportunity to retire CCMS V3 after October 2016. By the time you get all 11 of the recommended courts on board, you've got almost all of the V3 courts now on V4, and it's not likely to make a great economic sense to maintain V3 indefinitely on an ongoing basis. So we would encourage the branch to encourage everyone to migrate off CCMS V3 by late 2016 so that the funds that are currently used to support V3 can be redirected to support the V4 maintenance and operations.
I just have a quick question. Yeah. So for the couple of courts that are V3 courts that are not in your list of 11 courts, so for those courts that have V3, if the plan is in October of 16 to sort of decommission it or let go of at least managing it, would it be up to those courts then to figure out if they want to do it in-house or to come up with some other way of managing the software at that time?
Well, that's a decision for the council to make. We made no recommendation specifically about what they should do.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so let's move on to the second piece, which is our assessment of the early adopter budget for the San Luis Obispo deployment. So over the last many months, the AOC has created lots and lots and lots of different scenarios around early adopter deployments, some of them three courts, some of them two courts, some of them one court. The specific budget that we are using as our baseline against which to do our validation we'll refer to as the January 5th budget, and it's a San Luis Obispo-only early adopter deployment plan. So our steps in conducting the validation of this, there was really three main activities to it. The first was mapping the AOC's budget categories and the way that they structured the budget to the state's economic analysis worksheet format. And for those of you who aren't familiar with that, it's basically the format that the state uses when it's scoring and assessing large IT capital investments. They have a very specific spreadsheet format that they want all of the budgets presented in. And so we translated the information into that standard state format. The second piece was validating the assumptions underneath the AOC's budget, and if we had either updates to those assumptions or we disagreed with any of the assumptions, then we made revisions where appropriate. And then finally, out of the result of those two, developing an updated early adopter budget estimate, and that's what I'm going to share with you this morning. So the first step was doing the translation. And the AOC's budget estimate for the San Luis Obispo deployment, it's generally organized by CCMS organizational unit, so it's more of an organizational breakdown. The total estimate for that San Luis Obispo deployment over 3 years was $102 million. And so what we did as a very first step was reorganize those figures into two major categories. The first category are those activities that are actual court-level deployment activities, where work is being done at San Luis Obispo to actually deploy the court, deploy the solution to that court. And there are both one-time costs associated with that, and then there are ongoing indefinite costs associated with that. The second category is what we're calling statewide deployment costs. This is the establishment of the statewide enterprise-level infrastructure upon which CCMS V4 will operate. That obviously is used to support the San Luis Obispo deployment, but it's also designed to support multiple other courts afterwards, and so it's a separate category. And again, there are one-time costs associated with that, and there are also continuing indefinite costs associated with that. And so I want to sort of talk about each of those. Another thing that we had to do was translate the dates to match the deployment timeline that we just walked through. The January 5th schedule had some notional dates in there of a January 2012 start date for the San Luis Obispo deployment and then a completion in October 2013. the deployment timeline that we just reviewed has San Luis Obispo beginning in September 2012 and then deploying in 2014 in February. One item to sort of note here is the January 5th early adopter budget crosses three fiscal years, whereas because of the shift in dates, ours only crosses two fiscal years, so it has the effect of bunching all of those numbers into just two fiscal years. The other point I want to make, because I'm going to come back to this in a second, is that because in our deployment timeline, San Luis Obispo goes live in February of 2014, that's two-thirds of the way through the fiscal year. Okay, so the switch is flicked and San Luis Obispo is live two-thirds of the way through fiscal year 13-14. So what I want to walk through now is basically sort of line item by line item the most significant differences as we looked at the assumptions underlying the AOC's budget estimate and what we put into our revised estimate. The first is around hosting fees. The AOC had a set of assumptions around what the hosting costs would be at the California Core Technology Center, the CCTC, and that's based on contract pricing with their provider, SAIC. Given that we developed a brand new deployment timeline, and we had a different set of assumptions about the timing and the requirements for the infrastructure to support CCMS, we had to redo that. So we essentially gave our new set of assumptions to the AOC pricing people so they could price that against their current contract with SAIC. They did that repricing, and the net impact was the hosting is about $7 million less than in the AOC's original budget. No real difference in the basis for the numbers. It's just that we are working from a different set of assumptions because we have a different timeline associated with the deployment. The second difference is that there wasn't an explicit line item for either independent project oversight or independent validation and verification services in the AOC's January 5th budget. That's the best practice of any kind of project like this. We assumed such a contract would be required, and so we made an estimate of the funds required at about 5% of the total professional services fees for every fiscal year would be an equivalent size contract for what's called IPOC and IV&V. So that works out at an increase of about $1.7 million. Against the AOC's budget. There is some other hosting activity going on at Deloitte's Spring Valley location right now for some of the non-production environments. There are revised assumptions now in terms of how that will be priced and who's actually going to be doing that. We adopted those revised assumptions that had the net impact of saving about $1.2 million over the course of the three fiscal years. The biggest material difference in the numbers was related to the estimate for the maintenance and operations professional services that Deloitte would provide for the first several years of the implementation. The AOC had a methodology that essentially assumed that a full maintenance and operations team would be required at the point that San Luis Obispo went live. We questioned that. We thought it was probably more realistic that the Deloitte team would scale up over time. It would start off at sort of not a bare-bones team, but a relatively small team, and then it would build up over time as more users are brought onto the system. We had a number of conversations with the AOC about that. We ended up coming to sort of an agreement about, you know, what an appropriate number would likely be. The net effect of that is saving a significant amount of money in terms of the estimate maintenance and operations cost in the Deloitte contract. It ended up being about $17 million that our estimate was less than the AOC's January 5th estimate. The final, what I would call substantive difference, was that the Justice Bernier, I think, referenced earlier CCMS Release 1. So the software as it stands today is based on a set of design requirements that were frozen a couple of years ago, because as you head into the testing process, you have to have a stable set of code, and so you can't be changing the code all the time. So the actual design requirements do not include a whole host of legislative changes that have happened in the last couple of years. In addition, there are a number of enhancements that the AOC would like to add to the software prior to it being ready, basically, to go in at San Luis Obispo. That's what CCMS Release 1 is called. The design work for that is ongoing, but to actually complete those changes to the software, there's an estimate of around $5 million it will take, then additional funds to get CCMS Release 1, the software, ready to go into San Luis Obispo. Oh, sorry, I just realized I missed one. I'll go back to that. Thank you, Chris. So that figure, that $5 million figure in the January 5th budget, was assumed to be covered by the Deloitte delay reimbursement. We did not assume that, so we added it explicitly as an extra cost in the budget, and that had the net effect of increasing the budget by $5 million. I realize that, Chris pointed out, I missed one of the line items. There's a risk contingency fee of approximately 10% of professional services and about 3.5% of the hosting fees that the AOC included, basically to take care of unanticipated costs. We thought this was probably a reasonable amount, so we used the same percentages, but because we had changed the actual amount of professional services fees and hosting fees in our assumption, when we applied that same percentages, it ended up saving about $1.8 million in total. So those were the main, what I would call sort of material substantive differences in terms of either changes to assumptions or differences in basis for making the estimate. The last line item I'm putting in here, it's really more of a definitional question about what do you mean by an early adopter budget. And the reason I've got this in here is that as we were going through the work, we recognized that some people were asking the question, what does it actually take to implement CCMS v4 San Luis Obispo? You know, how much money do we have to spend before we flick the switch? That's not the same question that the AOC was answering when they were giving you a $102 million budget. What they were saying is, this is how much you need to fund CCMS through these four fiscal years, even though there's some maintenance and operations costs in there on top of the actual deployment costs. So given that we knew we had these differing interpretations of what early adopter budget really means floating around, and so we wanted to present both versions of the numbers. So on the next page, I'm going to sort of show you what I mean by that in terms of the two different ways of looking at the number. So the top row is the AOC's January 5th budget by fiscal year. So they estimated about $13 million in FY11-12, $45.5 million in 12-13, $44 million in 13-14, and that adds up to about $102 million in total. Our estimate, based on our revised assumptions for those same three fiscal years, comes out at about $81.5 million. So we estimate that in order to fund the San Luis Obispo deployment through the end of fiscal year 13-14, it's going to be around $81.5 million. But if all you care about is how much money do we have to spend to flick the switch, that's about $56 million. Obviously, you can't just flick the switch and stop spending money, but for those of you who wanted to know what that number was, that's the number. But probably the most important difference to look at is that our net estimate of what it would take to implement and fund San Luis Obispo's early adopter deployment through FY13-14 is $81.5 million, which is about $19 million less than the AOC estimated. Plus, we did not take into consideration any money coming from the Deloitte delay reimbursement. We assumed none of that money was used to fund this. So that $81 million is the full amount. So I want to spend a little bit of time talking about what's actually inside of those numbers and how to interpret them, because it has a bearing on what we're going to talk about later. When you look at that number, whether it's the $102 million, the $81 million, or the $56 million, all of them contain four categories of costs. What I refer to as one-time costs. So these are costs required to deploy CCMS, and you spend them once. So you spend them, you've built something, you have some sort of asset, and you don't have to spend that money again. Then there are continuing costs, and these are costs that you incur on a monthly and an annual basis for as long as the system is in operation. Similarly, there are court-level costs and statewide costs. Court-level costs are those costs directly related to deploying the system at a particular court. In this case, San Luis Obispo. Then there are statewide costs, and that's the costs related to creating the enterprise-level infrastructure that CCMS resides on and that is used to support all the courts that are working on CCMS. Now, I'm using the $56 million number here for illustration purposes. I think it's sort of the cleanest in terms of understanding the differentiation between these types of numbers. But as you see, based on our estimates, to deploy CCMS V4 to San Luis Obispo, only about $9.5 million of that money is being spent to actually deploy it to San Luis Obispo. The other $46 million is being spent to build and maintain the statewide infrastructure. And I want to talk about that a little bit more on the next slide in terms of what that really means. Because of the fact that San Luis Obispo is a single, you know, not very large court, you end up with a huge disparity in the amount of money you're spending on statewide investment costs versus court-level deployment costs. So I've got a little figure here on the left-hand side of the page that shows the proportion of court-level versus statewide costs for Phase 1, the San Luis Obispo. And as you can see, as I said, almost all the money is really being spent on statewide investment. There's very little that's actually being spent proportionally on deploying to that particular court. Once you get to Phase 2.1, which is the first set of five courts after San Luis Obispo, things switch around so significantly because now you're spending a lot of money on deploying to the court and a relatively small amount of money to deploy to maintaining the statewide infrastructure. And then same again as you get to Phase 2.2, where you're deploying to the next set of five courts. Again, it's a lot more money is being spent on the actual court-level deployments and relatively less on the statewide infrastructure. And you'll see that the numbers go up by varying degrees as well, in that the statewide costs are increasing, but they're not increasing as fast as the court-level costs. And that's because once you've built a lot of that statewide infrastructure, well, you've built it. And it does have to scale up more to handle additional courts, but you don't have to be spending the same amount of money every time as you add additional courts. And that was the whole point, really, of having the statewide infrastructure. You build it once, and you can utilize it many different times. Similar view of the same data on the right-hand side of the slide. If you look at the cost per user for just San Luis Obispo, it's really, really, really high because you're spending all of that money and there are very few users actually on the system. The number goes down significantly once you start adding additional users in Phase 2.1 and Phase 2.2, and were CCMS to be deployed any further than that, that trend would continue. Basically, the system is cheaper per user the more people you have on it. It gets progressively more expensive the fewer people you have on it. So just to sort of give the, I guess, a summary of our conclusions around the early adopter budget. In terms of the AOC's estimates, many, if not most, of the estimates we thought were the assumptions behind it were reasonable. There were some that were just based on out-of-date data. And as we were revisiting this in February, we realized that we had to update things like contract pricing had changed, and so we just changed those numbers. There were a couple of areas where we disagreed with the AOC's assumptions, and so those areas we made our own assumptions. And there were a couple of what we considered required costs, such as independent oversight and the release one software, that were not explicitly included in the AOC's budget, and so we added them. We also tried to make this differentiation between the $81 million cost that we estimate to fund San Luis Obispo's deployment through the end of 13-14 versus the cost just to flip the switch and get it implemented, for those of you who care about that distinction. But either way, and this is sort of, I guess, the bottom line is the bottom line here on the slide, given the cost involved in deploying CCMS-4 to San Luis Obispo, which is far larger than you'd ever spend deploying a single case management system to a single court, the deployment of San Luis Obispo CCMS-4 to San Luis Obispo really only makes sense if the branch also intends to deploy multiple additional courts to the statewide CCMS infrastructure. CCMS was always designed to be a statewide system, or at least a system that has a significant fraction of the statewide case volume on it, and the numbers only really work if you have a significant fraction of the statewide case volume running through the system. Deploying one court onto the system doesn't really make sense economically. So with that, what I'd like to do is move on to the cost-benefit analysis that we did to look at the 11-court deployment. So this is the early adopter plus the 10 Phase 2 courts. And I want to spend a little bit of time talking about the process, because for anyone who's not really familiar with the way the state scores large IT capital investments or the way the state requires alternative analyses to be done through the feasibility study report format, this process can be counterintuitive, if not confusing. And I think we end up throwing a lot of really big numbers around, and it can get pretty easy to misinterpret what those numbers actually mean. So I want to spend a fair bit of time just talking about the actual process before we start talking about the actual numbers. And I encourage you, if I'm losing anybody along the way, please stop me and we'll sort of make sure everybody's sort of with me slide by slide. At its heart, the state process for judging between alternative IT capital investments comes down to projecting different versions of the future. So you identify a couple of different scenarios. In this case, the two scenarios we're looking at are deploy CCMS v4 to 11 courts, San Luis Obispo plus another 10, and maintain those courts through FY 2021. That's the end of our time period. The other alternative is cancel CCMS and do not deploy CCMS to any of the 11 courts. Each of those 11 courts will be assumed to have to do something themselves by 2021 to replace their existing case management system. But V2 and V3 still exist, so you're going to have to continue paying for those systems through the period of 2021. So for each of those scenarios, what the process requires you to do is think of all the costs that are at all associated with those scenarios and include all of those costs. So the kind of things you have to include are obviously any one-time deployment costs. If you're building a new system, whether it be CCMS V4, or if any of the courts are implementing their own individual systems, how much is that going to cost? That's part of it. You're also going to have to spend money on your existing operations and maintenance for the court, for the systems that are in those 11 courts. You can't stop spending that money. So you have to include all of the continuing operations costs for every system that sits in those 11 courts until that system is retired. That includes any money that the AUC spends supporting V2 and V3. So that's all of your IT costs. In addition to that, you have to consider all of the non-IT, what's called program or business process costs. And these are all of the activities to actually carry out case management-related functions in the courts. So it's things like case initiation, background checks, calendaring, administrative inquiries, all of those things where people use or could use these case management systems, you have to estimate how much is that going to cost in the next 10 years. So you do that for both scenarios. You add up all of those numbers together for how much are you spending in total in the CCMS scenario, how much are you spending in total in the what we're calling the baseline, non-CCMS scenario, and then you look at the difference of the totals. And that difference is what's considered the return on investment. And that's what I'm going to take you through with those, basically those calculations, and then the difference of return on investment. What I also want to point out, though, is there's a different set of numbers around the new funding that's required. To make this happen, there is a set of new money that will be required to fund CCMS V4. So I want to talk about that as a separate slide to make sure we understand where those numbers are and how they fit into this overall total. Okay. So let's start with the IT costs for the CCMS scenario. So this slide here covers the total IT costs associated with deploying CCMS V4 to the 11 courts. So what it includes are the total one-time costs to implement CCMS V4. And there are two sets of one-time costs. There's the first row is one-time court-level costs. So this is the cost to deploy CCMS at those 11 courts. It's the actual implementation of the CCMS solution at those 11 courts, and that's $205 million in total. Then there's statewide one-time costs. That's that third row down there that says, we also have one-time cost to build the infrastructure, the CCMS, that will be used across those 11 courts, and that is going to reside at the court case, the CCTC. And that's about $25 million. So when you add that $205 million to the $25 million, you've got around $231 million in one-time costs that will be required to deploy CCMS V4. That's all new money that has to be arrived at. You also have continuing costs. You have continuing court-level costs. These are the costs of actually operating and maintaining the existing case management systems at the 11 courts. So these are the costs for any of the courts are spending money today on running their case management systems. They have to continue spending that money until CCMS V4 is implemented at that court and those systems are retired. That's about $120 million. You then have continuing statewide costs. So this is the cost of maintaining and operating V4, so some of that is new money, but it's also the cost of maintaining and operating V2 and V3 because you have to continue paying for those systems until those systems are retired. So when you add that $120 million as the court-level continuing costs and the $354 million as the statewide continuing costs, you end up with about $475 million. So I'm throwing those numbers out because we're going to come back to them in about two slides. There's about $231 million in total one-time spending across the courts and the statewide levels, and there's about $475 million in total continuing costs to current system operations costs, V2 and V3 operations costs, and CCMS V4 operations costs. When you add all of that together, you get about $706 million. So that's the total amount of money that's going to be spent on IT-related costs for those 11 courts between now and 2021. So that's the IT side of the equation. Now we need to talk about the non-IT side of the equation. But before we get there, I want to address the question of, well, what's new and what's not new? Of that $706 million, as I'd said, some of it you're going to have to spend anyway because it's related to V2 and V3 spending that has to carry on and continuing operations and maintenance costs for the 11 courts. They have to continue operating and maintaining their current systems. But there is new money required, and that money involves deploying the CCMS V4 solution to the courts, maintaining that V4 solution at the CCTC. And so we made an estimate of what that new funding requirement would be by fiscal year. It's very heavily front-loaded, and the reason is that we also assumed that as the systems start to go away, so as V2 and V3 are retired, the money that you're currently spending on V2 and V3 will go to fund V4. As existing case management systems at the courts, those 11 courts are retired, a large percentage of that money will also go to fund V4. We didn't assume it would all go, we thought that was probably unrealistic, but we assumed a significant percentage of it would. The other assumption in here is that 100% of the court staff time involved in supporting the deployment will have to be reimbursed by the AOC or the state. That hasn't always been the case in the conversations that have happened with the courts up till now. Many of them have agreed that they could partially fund some of this out of their own numbers, but given the deteriorating fiscal condition of the courts, we wanted to take the most conservative position possible. So we assumed that 100% of the court staff costs would have to be reimbursed. If you take that all into consideration, you end up about $342 million of new money that would be required between now and 2021 in order to fund the CCMS V2 and V3 implementation. So that's IT costs. What I want to talk about now is non-IT program level costs. So the next slide talks about all of those business processes that happen at the court, or at least the most material and significant business processes that happen at the court that could be impacted by CCMS V4. And as I mentioned before, we have to do, in our two scenarios, we have to do an estimate of how much money will those 11 courts spend on those business processes in the next 10 years if CCMS V4 is not implemented. How much will they spend on those same business processes if CCMS is implemented? Our total baseline projection, so that's the left-hand column there, is that those 11 courts will spend on the order of about $711 million over the next 10 years on business process operations around case management. Non-IT operations, this is people doing work, and storage facilities costs as part of it. With the implementation of CCMS V4, we project that those numbers will go down to about $494 million over that same 10-year period. So that's a net benefit of about $216 million in efficiencies. Pretty much all of that is to do with taking paper out of the system. It has to do with having people who are currently moving paper around or doing key entry who don't have to move paper around or do key entry anymore. That's by far the majority of where those savings come from. So if you take that 711 for the baseline non-IT costs and the $494 million in the CCMS V4 version of the world, non-IT costs, and you bring them all together with the IT numbers, what you get is the next slide. So what I'm doing here is for each scenario, the baseline scenario where CCMS is not implemented, and then the CCMS V4 scenario to 11 courts, I'm taking the one-time deployment costs that each of those courts would have to incur, the continuing IT cost projections of how much they'll have to spend maintaining their current IT systems over the next 10 years, plus maintaining V2 and V3, plus maintaining CCMS V4, if CCMS V4 is implemented, and then adding on top of that the business process costs associated with people actually carrying out case management-related business processes. That's what this shows. So for the baseline projection, we estimated a one-time IT cost where we assume that each of the courts has to individually replace their case management system at some point in the next 10 years at around $132 million. The source we used for this was an analysis that an organization called the Amicus Group did about 2 years ago, where they actually looked at this precise question. If all 58 courts in the state had to individually replace their case management systems, how much would it cost? They came up with a set of estimates. We used those estimates for the 11 specific courts we're talking about here. Plus, in addition, we added court staff costs because they didn't consider the actual cost of the court staff. We added an estimate for how much time the court staff themselves would have to spend supporting the deployment. And so we came up with an estimate of $132 million for those 11 courts to individually replace their case management system sometime over the next 10 years. In the baseline scenario for continuing IT costs, we came up with an estimate of about $289 million. That's a projection of, based on all of the money that the courts are spending today in maintaining their case management systems at the 11 courts, plus the money that is being spent to maintain V2 and V3, you project that out over the next 10 years, you get about $289 million. And then finally, the continuing program costs, this is what we were looking at on the prior slide, you project all of the case management work that's going on in the courts today to do things like initiation and background checks and so on. But those 10 courts projected over the next 10 years, it comes up to about $711 million. When you add all of that together, you get $1.13 billion. So that's our total estimate of the baseline scenario, what will be spent in the next 10 years by these courts in anything related to case management for the 11 courts. Turning to the CCMS V4 scenario, we have a total one-time IT cost of about $231 million. So that's the one-time cost of deploying CCMS V4 to those 11 courts. Then you've got the continuing IT costs of both maintaining and operating V4, plus maintaining and operating V2 and V3 until those core systems goes away, plus maintaining and operating all of the other systems that are at those 11 courts until those systems go away. That total is about $475 million. And then you've got the program costs, where we estimated how much would those court business processes cost over the next 10 years with the efficiencies that CCMS V4 would bring. That's about $494 million. You add all of that together, and you get about $1.2 billion in total case management-related spending at those 11 courts over the next 10 years. When you subtract the two numbers, baseline minus CCMS, you end up with a $67 million difference, basically saying that over that 10-year time period, we estimate that there'll be a net cost to the branch of about $67 million to implement CCMS V4 when all of the costs are taken into consideration. A couple of notes here on those numbers. One is that we did not make any assumptions around new revenue sources. So we were assuming that there were no new fees or any other kind of revenue sources that could be used to help fund CCMS V4. The other point is that this is only talking about quantitative benefits. This is just essentially the numbers part of it. You had a number of people come up earlier today and talk about the qualitative benefits that they see for V4 around, 24/7 access to data, visibility across taste types. I think, people did a much more eloquent job of that than I could of explaining what they felt the qualitative benefits would be. By definition, we haven't tried to quantify those benefits. but they do exist. There are some other benefits that are likely to be quantifiable in the future, but we're not able to do it at this point. And these are state-level benefits. There are organizations such as Child Welfare Services, the Department of Justice, and the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation that are likely to achieve some efficiencies when their new system implementations are complete and they're integrated with V4, that they will get some level of efficiency, but they're not really in a position to quantify it right now, so we haven't assumed any of those quantitative returns in this analysis. One last item on this slide, I want to just highlight this $342 million again. This is the new money that would be required and where this fits into the overall scenario totals. So as I've said, we estimate that about $342 million are going to be required in new funds to fund the deployment of CCMS V4 to these 11 courts and then maintain it through 2021. Of that 342, there's $231 million in one-time costs. That's a number there. In addition, of the $475 million in continuing costs for all of the different types of operations and maintenance that are going to happen, about $101 million of that is new money to maintain CCMS V4. So when you add that $101 million of new operations and maintenance money, the $231 million in one-time deployment costs, that's how you get the $342. One other point on the timing of the benefits. The chart here shows an annual estimate of the net difference between the baseline scenario and the CCMS V4 scenario each fiscal year. And so what you see is as CCMS V4 is racking up costs for deployment, there's progressively larger deficits in each fiscal year. And then as CCMS V4 is deployed, the rate of return turns positive. And we assume, or we estimate, that starting in about 17-18, there'll be a sustainable annual benefit of about $33 million a year that will continue indefinitely for CCMS V4. And so that would equate to sort of a break-even for CCMS V4 of about FY22-23. One thing I want to explain, because it's confused a few people, around why there are some big numbers in FY16 and FY17 that look like big benefits to CCMS V4. That's really an artifact of the timing of the replacement in the baseline scenario of the case management systems at the other 11 courts. We had to make an assumption about when those courts, if CCMS did not exist, when those courts would have to replace their own case management systems. Based on what the courts were telling us, a lot of that money may end up being spent in FY16 and FY17. And so what you're seeing is a big spike in costs in the baseline scenario in those years, which makes it look like CCMS V4 has some big benefits in those years. It's sort of an artifact of the numbers. The thing to really focus on is that starting in FY17-18, every year after that, there'll be about a $33 million benefit that will accrue to the branch on an ongoing basis from the deployment of these 11 courts.
Graham?
Yeah.
Is part of the reason, looking at slide 23, the baseline cost is high because there's an assumption that you're not leveraging modern technology, but just existing functionality that the courts would have when they transition to a different case management system?
Yeah, so we made we tried to make what we consider sort of a minimalist replacement assumption that when the courts were going to replace their case management systems, what they do is replace what they had today with something that was of more modern technology. But what they would not do is implement a new document management system or e-filing or do significant business process reengineering. And that's consistent with the Amicus Group's study as a basis for this, and that's consistent with their assumptions. The particular set of numbers that they used and sort of what they called the midpoint set of numbers, and it's what we used in the analysis, assumed that the courts were not implementing document management services or extensive JP integration as part of this. We were basically just implementing a new case management solution, and so we were trying to stay consistent with that.
So it would continue the more labor-intensive paper process.
Basically, that the business processes would effectively stay status quo.
Right. Okay.
So does that mean then that if they were to install one of the other competing vendors that are out there that have those, that the number would be less?
Yes. So what would happen is the one-time IT costs would become higher because they'd be spending more money to implement additional technology beyond the minimum. The continuing IT cost might go up because they have an additional, you know, set of IT infrastructure to maintain. But the continuing program costs would probably go down because they'd be able to achieve some efficiencies. And, of course, part of the dilemma we had was there's a million different versions of this that you could choose, even among, you know, like 11 cores. And so we basically tried to pick what we considered, the baseline, what's the simplest status quo scenario, without making too many hypotheticals.
Thank you. Justice Hall?
Thank you, Chief. Mr. Finley, thank you very much for the report. To a layperson such as me in your field, it seems quite comprehensive. And forgive me if I'm getting us out of sequence in your presentation, but a question does come to mind. Basically, what we've been hearing through the course of your presentation is what it would cost us over the next 10 years if we decided later on today to vote in favor of what's been presented as option one, if I'm reading this correctly. And one question that comes to my mind of some immediate concern is, and I don't know, I was looking at page 21 of your presentation. I don't know if that answers my question, but if we did vote in favor of option one, have you been able to make an estimate as to what option one would cost us during fiscal year 2012-2013? In other words, the fiscal year immediately coming up, because
yes.
That seems to me to bear on our decision here today.
So our estimate is if you decided to proceed with CCMS V4 along, you know, this deployment model, it's that number on the top line there. You'd need $35.5 million.
All right. And if
new money.
Thank you. And if we decided to pursue what's been presented as option two, which basically is a one-year delay, whether it turned out to be a year or not, and then pursued option one, and maybe this is beyond what you were asked to estimate. Maybe it cannot be estimated. But would that mean a year down the road, 2013, 2014, we would be facing at least another $35.6 million to go forward at that time?
Well, that's not a question I'm able to answer.
Okay.
Because I think you'd have to, for one thing, you'll have to relook at the courts, because
right.
Some of the courts that are on this deployment schedule can't wait a couple more years.
Okay.
So you're going to have to swap out some courts, and so the numbers will change.
I understand the complexity of it, but do you have a general feel as to whether or not the number would go down, perhaps? I can ask that.
I don't.
Okay, thank you.
I think that's going to be addressed in a later presentation.
Thank you. If I got out of sequence on the meeting today, I apologize.
It's estimated to be about $21 million more in the long term than this scenario.
Judge Rosenberg?
I don't know if this is the time to ask a cost-benefit question or if I should reserve it for later. Would this be the time? Okay. Two questions. Obviously, all conclusions and opinions are based on the validity of the assumptions. So we have to look at the assumptions. I am looking at page 43 of your report, which is the cost-benefit analysis based on the amicus group and their study of the alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
This study was done a couple, 3 years ago, and you've broken down the costs for each of the 11 courts of the, quote, alternatives. Mm-hmm. Now, here's where I'm scratching my head, and maybe you can help me. My court is about the same size as San Luis Obispo, Marin, and Santa Cruz. About the same size in terms of judicial officers and staff, caseload, all that stuff. We're approximately in the same category. Your conclusion, based on the amicus group study and some other factors you've thrown in the mix, is that those courts are going to wind up spending something over $3 million over that 10-year period, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. I have checked with my staff as to the cost of alternative programs for my court, a full-on case management system that provides e-filing, you name it, that exists right now. They inform me that it will cost us $500,000 to purchase it off the shelf, and then about $80,000 a year. So if I figure that out over a 10-year period, that's about $1.3 million. Now, I'm sure there are some other costs involved, although they assure me there aren't. But that's a big difference. I mean, that's your number is 2-1 to the number that I've gotten. So if my number is correct or more correct than your number, that changes the equation, does it not?
It would. That the reason that we use the Amicus Group report is because, well, there's a couple of reasons. They base their numbers on a set of data from around 85 different court system implementations that they've been through previously, plus knowledge of, you know, market rates for this kind of software. So from a, you know, when we're trying to do an assessment across a series of courts and come up with something that's a reasonable number, the level of background that they had and the kind of material they were bringing to it made us think that it's probably a pretty good set of data. I can't comment on your estimate, of course. I don't, you know the facts behind it. But the level of sort of case study information that they were able to bring to the material gave us a reasonable degree of confidence that this wasn't a bad number to be using.
Basically. I have one more question. The 11 courts, do we know approximately how that relates to all 58 trial courts? In other words, would these 11 courts, when you compare, say, number of judicial officers or budgets, what have you, is that one quarter of all the trial courts?
It is
a third? What is it?
So it's 27.4% of the total case volume of the state.
Okay. So let's just very roughly say it's a quarter of the trial courts. The estimate for implementing the 10-year cost for CCMS for those 11 is $1.2 billion, if I got that correct.
Depends how you're defining cost.
Okay.
I hate to be sort of that.
So would it be fair to say that the cost over 10 years for all 58 trial courts would be closer to $5 billion?
So if you – I don't know if you saw the cost-benefit analysis we did last year, but that's precisely what we looked at. We looked at what would the cost be to deploy over 58 courts over exactly the same time window. And when we went through this again, that same state methodology, we came up, it was in the region of about $5.5 billion for the CCMS V4 scenario, and it was about $6 billion for the baseline. And that's how we came up with the benefit of about $300 million. But again, that's including all of the salaries for people in the court. It's, you know, a lot of it is money you'd have to spend anyway. The actual one-time deployment costs for, you know, the new money, again, was more in the order of $1 to $1.2 billion for all 58. So proportionally, you know, we said $342 million in new money required. It's somewhere in the same ballpark proportion.
Thank you,
Judge D'Alba.
Thank you, Chief. Mr. Finley, I had a question about the return on investment, either on page 23 or 19 of your handouts this morning, your slides. If you go back to 19, where you have what the state defines as a cost analysis or cost-benefit analysis, you have that it should include all cost so that you can determine what you're getting back on your investment. But I see just deployment cost on CCMS. And then back on page 23, when you compare the baseline versus the two scenarios, the V4 deployment. On the baseline, on page 23, you have the cost of acquiring new systems, like Judge Rosenberg mentioned. Why doesn't the deployment cost, the projection of the $1.2 billion, include the development cost of CCMS? In other words, isn't that part of the investment?
It does. Maybe I didn't communicate myself very well. This includes, what we're referring to here are all costs, the monies that will be spent from basically July 1 of this year forward. We're not considering prior year costs, but any money that would be spent from July 1st of 2012 through the end of fiscal year 2021, that does include all of the development and deployment costs of CCMS-V4.
So to be more accurate, this should say CCMS-V4 development and deployment costs to 11 ports.
Yes. I mean, it's basically any money that would be spent from July 1st onwards to put CCMS into those 11 ports.
Alan Carlson, then Judge Herman.
Yeah, I think where we are here is the development of V4 is complete. So the go forward from July 1st of the next fiscal really would only address deployment costs, not development costs. So those are already sunk costs. They're already spent.
Alan?
Yeah, that the same issue. If you're asking about the costs that we've already spent to get to where we are now, that's not included in this number. Anyway.
I mean,
but by same token, if we went out and bought a system from somebody else, we would not be including the cost of that system being developed somewhere else. Is that a fair comparison in a sense?
And if you wanted to include those costs, I mean, from an economics perspective, it's a sunk cost. You spent that money, it's spent.
Yeah.
So if you wanted, let's say it was $500 million. If you wanted to include that, you add $500 million to the baseline cost, and you add $500 million to the CCMS-V4 cost, because you've spent it in both scenarios. So all of the numbers go up, but the difference stays exactly the same. It's still a $67 million difference.
Yes. Judge Kaufman.
I have a question. On your slide 23, you're saying $67 million is what it really costs us. And your assumption is that the courts are replacing similar systems, so they're not going to e-filing or document management, correct? Suppose we put that into the equation. What is that? How does that change everything? Because you have to compare apples to apples. CCMS has a document management, has an e-filing, correct, component. So if courts were to do that, how would that change that $67 million figure?
Well, I can't tell you. What I can say is that, sort of to go to the question was a little bit earlier, the one-time IT cost in the baseline number would go up because there would be more money spent. The continuing IT cost would also probably go up. The continuing program cost would come down. How much they would come down, I don't know. Part of the issue, and the reason we didn't go this route, is, you know, basically we were asked to identify CCMS scenario, apply to 11 courts versus not deploying. And when you say, what do you mean by not deploying, there's a million different ways you could look at that. Mm-hmm. And so we took the simplest possible, what we're calling the status quo baseline scenario. It's easy to construct, or it's possible to construct, many different scenarios where different courts would choose to do different things. And it would change the numbers, but we weren't able to do that. You know, we took the most simple, straightforward status quo scenario.
There was a time element too, right? I mean, you can't do everything.
Yes, I mean that's sort of part of it.
Yes, Judge Rubin.
Just so I'm clear, so looking at the baseline, the one-time IT cost that we're looking at in box one under baseline. So the existing scenario, you were looking at what features and components the current software had and to replace it with a like type of software,
yes.
Or you're talking about replacing it with something more like CCMS?
Replacing it with a like type of software that provided all the basic case management functions that the courts have today, but would not include a new document management system, unless the courts already have a document management system, because some of them do, and we did take that into consideration if they already have a document management system. But if they don't, we did not assume that they would implement one.
And the basis of that cost was this report to which you've made reference, but you didn't look or talk to anybody about specific pieces of software that might be cheaper than what this report said was out there.
Right.
Okay.
Any more questions or comments?
Okay. So let me move on to, basically we're at the sort of summary and recommendations point here. So we looked at a 10-court deployment strategy in two phases that would start with San Luis Obispo, complete in mid-FY16-17. We did an analysis of the early adopter cost and versus the $102 million that the AOC estimated. We came up with a number about $81 million, apples to apples, or 56 if you just want to know what it takes to flick the switch on San Luis Obispo. We then looked at two scenarios, all of the costs involved deploying CCMS to 11 courts, or all the costs involved in not deploying CCMS. For the deploy CCMS scenario, we came to a total of about $1.2 billion over 10 years. For the not deploy CCMS, we came to a total of about $1.13 billion. That difference of about $67 million is the effective negative $67 million is the effective return on investment, or if you like, the cost to the branch. Although CCMS v4 at these 11 courts would provide a continuing net annual benefit from 1718, FY 1718 onwards, of about $33 million. Now, if the branch wanted to create a more positive ROI or an earlier positive ROI than was shown in our analysis, there are a few things that you could do. One is to add additional large courts or to replace some of the smaller medium-sized courts with larger courts. And that's basically because larger courts pay for themselves more easily. The more case volume you get through the system, the better the numbers look. As it said, we were trying to achieve a diversity of sizes of courts, but if you've gone with an all-large court solution, the numbers probably would have looked a little bit different. Now, of course, we did approach a number of other larger courts, and the courts we had in here were the ones that were most interested in talking to us. So you'd have to actually identify some additional candidates from the larger courts that would be willing to go early. But that is an option. Probably the most significant single factor in driving the return on investment is the extent to which county and local justice partners are integrated electronically with CCMS. To the extent you can remove the paper from the process altogether so that there never is any key entry of a new case file, that drives return on investment very significantly. That's an area where, based on our discussions, you know, with the various courts and some justice partners, the counties are hurting now. They have, you know, significant fiscal challenges. A number of them are either, you know, unable or unwilling to commit to building the integration to CCMS v4 that would be required to allow this electronic integration to happen. But were you able to increase the percentage of case filings that could be delivered electronically, that would have a very positive effect on the return on investment for the solution. The last option would be to basically to speed the deployment up. We have the last courts going live in late 2016. If you could do it quicker, then still within our sort of 10-year cost-benefit analysis window, you're going to have more opportunity to accrue benefits and potentially get a positive overall return on investment. There are challenges to that, though. I think staffing up to do even five courts at a time will be a challenge for the AOC. Doing more than that at a time or doing them on a more aggressive basis, you know, whether that's feasible or not, I don't know. In terms of any recommendations we'd have, you know, if the council does decide to go ahead with the deployment of CCMS in some format that's similar to what we've presented, we have a few recommendations. The first would be to revisit the CCMS government structure and the membership. You know, in particular, we're looking at 11 courts that would become the vanguard for CCMS and that would rightly want to be driving the train from now onwards. So I think we'd want to look at who is actually on the governance committees and who gets to make what kind of decisions. And several courts that are in this, you know, early deployment that have already identified some specific functionality that they would like to see in CCMS in the future, maybe isn't there right now. And so that's something we'd recommend, that the governance process enables those courts to have the right kind of voice in driving the functionality and feature set for CCMS, given that those are the courts that are going to be adopting it. A second recommendation would be to investigate the level of effort required to configure CCMS for the very small courts. Now, those courts have a unique set of circumstances, particularly where you have court staff who have to handle multiple different types of case types. It's a different world in the very, very small courts. We recommend that you take a look at the level of configuration that would be required, whether you'd actually have to create, you know, what's being called a small court version of CCMS, and just how much that level of effort would be to accommodate those very small courts. And then the final recommendation, this is maybe a little bit of an internal baseball thing, but the way that the budget was presented organized by pretty much by CCMS organizational structure. It's fairly unintuitive to understand for people who are used to the more the standard state budgeting process. So we'd recommend that you sort of look at reconciling that and maybe moving it into something that's more common to the way other large state IT projects are budgeted. I think it would help with communicating with people like the Department of Finance and LAO and the Bureau of State Audits and so on, if you were able to talk to them apples to apples. That's my presentation, so I'd welcome any further questions.
I don't see any hands raised. It was very comprehensive.
I'm sorry, just one quick question, Chief. So I recall from looking at the report yesterday that in looking at the 11 courts, that there was a conversion component in one of those. So did you assume that every court would convert and convert all their data? Is that the assumption you made?
We worked with the information that we had. So we knew that at least one or two courts were not planning to do conversion. They were just committing to do day forward.
Yeah.
Where we did not know anything specifically, we did assume that there would be electronic conversion of prior data, just because that's the conservative assumption to make.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? As I was saying, I thought the report was very comprehensive, and having you walk through it after we had read through it ourselves was very helpful. If there's not any further comment on the report, I thank you and would stand in recess to take a half an hour lunch and return here at about 12:40 so we can take up the discussion of the options. Thank you.
Very good.
Stand in recess.